We are back at it. Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. We are sitting here on a Wednesday. It's midweek, getting ready for a big weekend. Oklahoma State traveling to TCU. Joining me right now is Kyle Porter from Pistols Firing Blog. Kyle, you have much bigger fish to fry than TCU, I feel like.
Well, I'm out of everyone's children are safe after the debacle with our microphones on Monday.
You sound like one of those shadow characters like during Dateline when they don't want to disclose the person's identity.
I do want to say I really appreciate everybody's response. I was apoplectic over the entire situation just because we work hard on these and we want them to be good and we spend a lot of time on them and we don't want to redo them. I hit the wrong audio input button and it sounded very bad. So I apologize to everybody for that. We've got the right audio button today, hopefully.
I don't sound like the guy off Ransom.
I mean, did you see some of the responses? They were amazing.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I like that.
People asking for me to not harm their children, asking if I was working for the FBI, all kinds of different things. So
it was a surreal re-listen. It was
pretty great, or it turned out great. I want to talk about the college football playoff.
You seem pretty worked up about it.
You
wrote a big long piece about it today that was really good, I thought. Just what were your reaction to the shenanigans last night?
Well, the part that I'm worked up about, and I hope people see this for what it is, I think the committee does a pretty decent job. I really do. I think people get so mad at the committee and all these people and whatever, but like we all have these inherent biases that we're just going to default to almost no matter what. It's just, I mean, that's how everyone is. That's how everyone thinks. Everyone has their own set of biases. Some people's differ, but my issue has become that the whole charade of picking the four best teams in college football for the playoff, it takes power away from winning your conference. It's almost like, what's the point of playing the conferences, especially if the Big 12's power structure is going to keep sliding, the perception of the Big 12 is going to keep falling away, then why even pretend like they're part of the conversation unless a team goes 12-0 or something, you know? And so it's just, yeah, when you're measuring these things that have, or when you're measuring these inequitable things, different number of games against different teams, it brings your biases into play and it takes away from what you actually do on the field within your conference.
Yeah. At that point, you just throw your hands up in the air and say, let's just disband the Big 12. I mean, if they can't get in unless they go undefeated, it seems like a waste of time. My biggest problem with the entire thing, Kyle, is like, I think you've mentioned it before. Like, I like the BCS computers better than a committee, just because it takes out that inherent bias we all have. Like, it wouldn't treat Ohio State like they're Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Now, granted, there was only two teams that got in. That's obviously a worse system, but I don't like the human element at all. I mean, the Big 12 has obviously already gotten shafted with the whole TCU and Baylor phenomenon, and now it just seems like, well, if you're not OU, you better go undefeated. That's just kind of how how I feel that they're viewing things, which is just wrong. But
did you see the answer to the West Virginia OU question?
Yeah, like could it be more obvious that they have just inherent biases?
It was Kirby Hocutt that was asked about why OU is ahead of West Virginia, even though neither of them has a top 25 win, and OU has two losses while West Virginia only has one, and yet OU is ahead of them. And he said, well, because OU has a top 25 win, and the whoever asked the question said, no, we're not talking about Oklahoma State. We're talking about OU. And he said, oh, well, their offense is really good. Like, that was the answer. It was incredible. It was like, what are we even doing here? Like, it just, and the committee almost works itself into a knot by trying to, I mean, if we're going to pick the four best teams, why don't we just let Vegas pick it? You know, like that's part of my point, is like they can pick truly the four best. And you've got this like clause in there where, well, you got to take injuries into account. And it's like, what do the wins and losses not matter? I mean, do they just like, well, Alabama's quarterback got hurt early in the year and they went 7-5, but they would have gone 12-0, so we're going to include them. It's just, and this was an issue for me last year. The whole thing is silly, and it should be 8 teams, 5 conference champions, 3 wild cards, so you still get the Ohio State that doesn't win its division in its own conference into the playoff, and there would still be arguing. Arguing about it is part of what's fun, and if you had 8 teams, there would still be a lot of arguing.
Yeah, and I almost kind of get angry at myself for getting worked up about this. I even tweeted last night. Like, it's like, this is so dumb and contrived and pointless and really meaningless ultimately, yet here I am, tuned in. I'm ready to complain about it no matter what they say. You know, it just, it's so silly, and we're all fish for, you know, sinking into this. But it's college football. We're going to watch it no matter what. But yep. I've kind of, like, you know, college football has always been my favorite sport. And I really, in the last 2-3 years with this whole playoff and the committee and the way the Big 12 just seems to get screwed every single year, I've kind of soured on college football as a whole, really.
Really?
I don't know how you feel. I mean, I still love it. It's still one of my favorite sports, but I'm kind of like, just, I have fatigue. I have playoff fatigue. I have committee fatigue. Let's just roll Bama and Ohio State to start the year. I thought you had a great idea. Like, September 1st, just let them play and determine the national champion.
That's it. That's your college football season.
Seriously, why even play the other games? I mean, that's who they're going to come up with. They're going to find a way to get Bama in there. Even if Bama were to not win their division, you know they're getting in.
But
because they're Bama, and they're really good.
And based on their definition of what the playoffs should be, they should get them in there. They are one of the best teams. And that underscores what I'm talking about. It's like, it doesn't matter what Bama's record is. They're just one of the best teams. And they are. Like, I agree with the playoff committee in that. But that's not what it should be necessarily. I don't know. I get...
Well, at that point, not everyone has a fair chance at the playoff. If you're already considering a team that's not going to win their conference.
Right.
In this example, you're already eliminating, you know, a whole conference, essentially.
But
you're eliminating either the Pac-12 or the Big 12.
But how great would it be if it was 8 teams? I mean, and people argue, well, it devalues the regular season. No, it doesn't. Because if it was 8 teams, Oklahoma State and West Virginia would still have a real legitimate, hey, win your next 2 games and you're in chance. And that is exciting to me. And you would also get, I mean, Washington State can make the playoff. Washington State can make the playoff anyway. Did you realize that?
They can?
They're 8-2.
So if they win the Pac-12?
If they're 7-0 in the Pac-12. If they beat Washington and Colorado, they're in the Pac-12 title.
But they lost to, like, an FCS school, didn't they? Didn't that to kind of take them out of consideration?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. but I don't know.
I mean, then again, OSU lost to Central Michigan, yeah. I think. I mean, they have OSU at 11, at 8-2. They have them ahead of Utah. They have them ahead of West Virginia. They have them ahead of Nebraska. Those are all 2 lost teams.
Do you think Oklahoma State should be ahead of West Virginia?
No. If you count them as 2 losses, which that's what their record says, and that's what Kirby Hokut says their record is, then no, you can't. You can't have them, because West Virginia only has 1 loss, and it's that old deal with, like, Florida State the year they got in over Miami, even though they had lost to Miami, because their loss was better than Miami's loss. Miami lost on the road at Washington. So I would put West Virginia above OSU because they have 1 loss, and their loss was on the road to a really good OSU team.
But isn't that hilarious? Like, isn't that, like, sort of the point right here? Is that, like, it doesn't, you know, and the solution to that is, man, I wish there was a way to determine, like, the 5 best teams, like, on their own. Like, I wish – oh, wait, we have that. We have conferences, and you play it out, and whoever wins the conference should be in the playoff, and then you pick 3 at-large teams. I mean, do I want it to go to 16 teams? No. Do I want it to go to 32 teams? No. I don't want it to be college basketball. But I think if you have 8 teams, you bring in – I mean, we always look at the top 25 in college football, right? We always have. Like, the top 25 is such an alluring thing. And you bring in all these teams that are in the top 25 and say, well, maybe Western Michigan could sneak in. Maybe Nebraska's still alive at 8-2. I just think it would be a really great thing for college football.
What's your dream scenario?
For the final few weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Probably Alabama losing to Chattanooga this weekend.
What's your realistic dream scenario?
I sort of want Ohio State, Penn State, and Oklahoma State to win out, and Ohio State to get in over Oklahoma State, even though they didn't win their own division, just because I think it would be absurd. And do I think Ohio State's a better team than Oklahoma State? Of course. No reasonable person thinks otherwise. But I think it would just highlight just the ridiculousness of the entire thing.
Right. It would just kind of highlight the juggernaut theory.
Yeah,
it would. The helmet theory.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I hope too.
Yeah.
I want Ohio State to get in without winning their own division. And just for the complete absurdity of it all.
Yeah.
By the way, what if that happens? Like, what is Gundy's reaction going to be? What is he going to do to, like, burn down the Central Michigan resume loss?
Well, what would be super interesting is if somehow the other – so if Penn State and Wisconsin went out, they'll play in the and
how gross of a Big Ten title game.
And Ohio State beats Michigan, then Penn State and Wisconsin will play for the Big Ten title. What if somehow Ohio State was the only Big Ten team that got in
and they didn't play for the conference
title? Didn't play for the conference title.
That'd be perfect. That's my dream scenario. You just laid it out for me.
Yeah, it would be. And again, I like Ohio State. I think they're great. Their 11 Warriors site has made me root for them. But I just think the whole thing is complete silliness. I kind of want two conference champions to not get in. Also, I think that would be, I think that would be great. So yeah, we got a guest. We can talk more about the college football playoff in a minute, but we need to call our Coop Ale Works guest of the week. Coop Ale Works, brewing great tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works, and please remember to drink responsibly. We are going to call Kyle Boone, who obviously writes for Pistols Firing and recently got hired by CBS Sports. So we're going to talk to him about some college basketball, some recruiting, and maybe some college football playoff as well.
Yo, what up?
Kyle.
What's up?
What's up, dude?
None. Just chilling. What are you guys doing?
Just having you on the podcast.
Woohoo.
You're on right now.
Yeah, we're live.
All right.
This is all going to be, we're actually changing your voice as we speak.
Yeah. Can you do me, I want the Darth Vader, the second version, the lower version.
Yeah. We can't disclose your identity. So we're going to mask your voice.
Perfect. I think if you gave me the Darth Vader for that woo, that would really do me in. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, so you've completed, I believe, 1 week of covering college basketball for CBS Sports. What's it been like? How fun has it been? What has your experience been so far?
It's been crazy. It's been a pretty good first opening week of games last night, Duke and Kansas going to the wire. My first game was Michigan State and Arizona. Which was pretty cool. And then, yeah, just watching games and writing about it. It's crazy. It doesn't feel like you should get paid to do that, but it's happening.
Can we shut down the Big 12? Just give the trophy to Kansas already after their win last night against Duke?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much over. Kansas is good, and if their freshman comes around, I think they're going to be really good. I don't think anyone's going to compete with them.
What has been the most difficult part of, I was just thinking about you kind of jumping into covering college hoops. I mean, there's 352 teams. So multiply that by I mean, over 3,500 players, that's how difficult it is to kind of get your arms wrapped around what you need to know for covering it.
Yeah, it's a lot. Did a lot of reading before I started, just reading a bunch of preview pieces, kind of like the top 100 players, the top 300 teams, kind of just getting a general overview of understanding the teams and players and all that stuff. But I think it's just a lot of, you pick it up as you go and you just watch a bunch of basketball. So it's kind of learn as you go type deal. I'm leaning on my colleagues at the moment. So, but they've been good.
What are your early impressions of Oklahoma State? Obviously Brad Underwood taking over. Just what are your thoughts on them so far?
I'm not sure how much I can take away yet. I mean, I played Central Arkansas earlier this week and kind of struggled. So I think it's going to take a long time to rebuild kind of what Underwood's taking over. So I think it's going to be kind of, you have to be patient with what he's doing, because they haven't really impressed me so far.
We have a very skewed perception of who Juwan Evans is. You know, Carson and I always talk about him like he's going to be a top five pick, and we're very pro Juwan Evans for sure. But what is the national perception of him? You've obviously read more, like in the context of how he fits into the national scene. How do you feel like he's perceived nationally?
I think everyone thinks he's a really good player on like a mediocre team, probably. People talk about him being probably a first round draft pick. I think he may probably be in that discussion already, but by the end of the year, assuming he's healthy, I think he would be. I'm not sure if he's going to go to the draft, but I think he definitely has the potential. He's a really, really good point guard.
Who are the early, I guess, since you're covering it from a national perspective now, who are kind of the early favorites for the Final Four? Like, who are really essentially the top four or five teams in the country going into the season? I assume it's the usual suspects.
Yeah, basically same as usual. Kentucky is really good. They have, you know, 15 freshmen. They sent all 15 to the NBA draft last year, which is first time in NCAA history.
Wait, is that true, or are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being sarcastic. Sorry.
I actually couldn't tell if that was true or not.
Sounds right.
I think their entire team like entered the draft, but some of them withdrew their names.
Yeah.
So now you can like enter and get like a draft grade. But anyways, Duke is really good. They have three of their like star freshmen who are out with injuries right now, and they pushed Kansas to the wire. So they look good. Kansas is obviously another one. And I like Michigan State. I think Michigan State's good. They have a really good freshman. Miles Bridges, who was kind of a superstar that broke out over the weekend. So there's a bunch of kind of the same old blue blood basketball teams that are probably going to be pushing for the Final Four again.
How are you feeling about Oklahoma State's football season? Obviously, we've been pretty deeply ingrained, deeply embedded into that all year. Are you, you said you think they might lose to TCU this weekend. You still feeling that way?
Still feeling that way. I'm kind of concerned. I think playing at TCU is always a challenge. Fort Worth is a tough place to play, but it definitely helps that it's not a night game, because I think things get weird in Fort Worth. But I don't know. I think TCU is kind of coming along, and I saw that you had wrote something about the scheduling for OSU really didn't work out, because OSU played Baylor early in the year, and now they play TCU late in the year. If it was flipped, it may be OSU may be, you know, 9-1, but instead they're playing TCU, who's kind of on the rise and have a good quarterback with Kenny Trill, and I don't know, it's kind of scary. So I think it's a trap game.
Yeah, your boy Kenny Trill. I think Carson is getting some coffee right now. Are we back, Carson? No, he's not back. Kyle, you were one of the few. Yeah, this is
sorry about that.
Really professionally done here. You were one
sorry
of
about
the,
that.
You, Kyle, you were one of the few guys that actually liked the barbed wire helmet last weekend. Would you like to explain yourself?
I knew this was coming up. Yeah, I mean, I liked it because I liked it for the same reason that I liked the new uniforms. It has like an OSU specific feel to it. It's got like, you know, the number 21 for Barry Sanders on the helmet and something that's unique. It's not cookie cutter as OSU would probably term it. So I liked it. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was a little bit busy. It had a lot going on the helmet, but I don't know. I think recruits probably liked it, and I guess if the players like it, then that's ultimately good.
I think everyone liked it but me and Kyle.
Yeah, basically. Southwell.
That ain't true. That's not true.
the comparison I meant to make last podcast, Kyle, that I forgot to make was, to me, it reminded me of an Ed Hardy t-shirt. That or like bedazzled jeans, one that combo, like the whole outfit.
Well, on my
that's
really busy.
On my poll yesterday, 16% of people said it was ugly, and it was almost 2,000 voted. So that's like almost 250 people, 300 people.
But everyone else liked it, right?
31% said it was good, not great, and 53% said I loved it.
Yeah, you had the equipment guys after you on Twitter.
Carson, do you have any other you got some Cruton questions? I know we were talking about that earlier.
I think Oklahoma State, I believe they're second in the Big 12 right now in football recruiting. Do you expect them to maintain that or kind of fall toward the stretch?
Yeah, they're probably going to fall. I think their class is pretty much filled out, and I think that kind of speaks to like Gundy wants to play it safe and fill out his whole class like 5 months early before signing day. Whereas Texas has like six recruits and they're like number six, but they're probably going to end up stealing all of OSU's recruits and the best recruits in Texas and have a monster signing day. So OSU's probably going to fade a little bit. I think they're number two in the Big 12, but they're like number 30-ish nationally. So they have a lot of recruits, but not a lot of highly rated recruits. They're OSU guys, like three-star guys. So I would imagine it probably fades. They'll probably finish somewhere around fifth in the Big 12, is my guess.
Give me your Gundy had a quote a couple years ago. I think it was to I think Carson and I have talked about this. I think it was to Brandon Chapman of ESPN or maybe Jake Trotter, and he just talked about how When they started winning big in 2010, 2011, they started getting into the homes of four and five star guys, but they couldn't close them. And he basically insinuated that after that, they just said, we're not going to mess with those four and five star guys because we couldn't close them. So we're just going to keep doing what we've been doing. What do you think the reason for that is? Like, why do they just seemingly not even go after the big dogs that they could land, it seems like they're not even trying?
Yeah, I think it's a risk for OSU because they're not typically known as a blue blood school that can steal top recruits. So with top recruits, a lot of them like the national attention that they get from fan bases, which means a lot of them take their decision to signing day or towards the end of kind of the recruitment process, whereas like I said, OSU has almost their entire class filled out, and it's not even December, 3 months till signing day. So a lot of those top prospects want to have their national signing day televised on ESPN or want to get 1,000 retweets on signing day or, you know, whatever it might be. I think it's OSU just kind of trying to limit the risk that they might lose out on someone earlier in the process. And they go ahead and take recruits early rather than pushing it to the last minute and then taking a risk and maybe getting a guy. So I think that's why.
Carson, are you alive?
Oh, yep, I'm good. I thought that was the last question.
No, I mean, it can be. Do you have anything else?
I mean, that was my question. You stole it from me.
Yeah. What about Zach Dawson and Latrevion Glover, Kyle? Those are two guys that Brad Underwood signed. How good do you think they can be? Is it? Are we? Do you think we're going to see Underwood go recruit more nationally, maybe, than other coaches at OSU have in the past?
Yeah, I think so. The guys that he has on their staff is kind of, they're known for the areas that they recruit. They have guys who are typically recruiting in like the New York area. They have the two guys that they signed earlier this week, Latrevion Glover and Zach Dawson, both from Florida. So they seem to kind of hit on specific areas in the country, which is kind of interesting. So I think they may be kind of trying to build up almost like a pipeline in Florida and New York area. So I like Zach Dawson. I think he's a good combo guard. He can play point guard and he's a really good scorer. Latrevion Glover was kind of surprising. He kind of popped up on the radar out of nowhere. I saw Sam Aldrich posted in our Slack that OSU was maybe getting close to Latrevion Glover. I had never even heard of his name. So I think OSU is kind of in a situation right now where they're coming off a really bad basketball season. Not a lot of fans went to games. They're not typically they're not known in the past few years for being a good basketball school. So it's going to take a while recruiting to build up as well. So they're taking a risk on Glover, who's coming off a knee injury, to try to buy low when his stock is low and see if he can turn into a kind of a LeBron James type, as Underwood said.
Yeah, wow, that was pretty intense.
Yeah, no pressure, kid.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Kyle. Good job at CBS. Obviously, great job at Pistols Firing. We've been enjoying everything you've been doing on there, and wish you the best with all the college basketball this year.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you later.
See you, Kyle.
All right, see ya.
Sorry, I've got a million things going on over here.
Yeah, well, you just ejected from the conversation. Oh, I meant to ask him. I meant to ask him what kind of coupe he drinks. We could have just asked him.
Yeah, we can predict.
Yeah,
we can't. No horny toad blondes this week, right? Because it has the TCU mascot on it.
Yeah, yeah. I think maybe the spare rib pale ale.
Yeah, I was gonna go native amber.
Yeah, I could see that too. I had a spare rib the other day. I'd forgotten how good it was.
Yeah, it's real good.
Yeah, I really.
I brought it over to. I watched the after I got off work. I went and watched the UFC over at a friend's house and brought over some coupe.
Nice. So
I brought party favors.
Spreading the word. I like it.
People like the spare rib.
Yeah, that's good. I thought what he said about the recruiting 4 and 5 stars was really interesting. Like, and it fits with what we've been talking about with Gundy, right? Like he doesn't like risk. He wants to mitigate risk. He doesn't want to take a recruit all the way to. I mean, it was even weird last year seeing the who was it, Calvin Bundage, that signed at the very last minute with Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird to see Oklahoma State do that, and I think that I don't know. He just doesn't. To do that, you have to do it with a bunch of guys because you're going to hit on some and not hit on others. And I think he just is just out on that style of recruiting.
Well, he's a made man. He can do it however he wants, and he's had a lot of success with 2 and 3 star guys. And it kind of goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago, like. I feel like he would be more willing to take a 3-star that's like a high character, high quality dude than a questionable guy that's a 4 or 5 star.
Yeah.
Just where he's at in his career, he doesn't even mess with that, it seems like. But I do kind of don't you kind of wish, like we talked about it last year when they were getting drummed by OU and Baylor, that they would recruit, you know, a few more 4 stars, maybe even a 5-star too, just find ones that fit your program. You know what I mean?
Did you see
that's how you win the Big 12.
Did you see what Gundy said on Monday about having horses?
No, he said horses.
Yeah. He said Eddie Sutton used to tell him you can't win the Kentucky Derby with a mule.
I did see that quote,
which I thought was
a great quote.
Oh, I thought it was amazing. And it's like, yeah, I know.
Get on it, Gundy.
That's our point. He also said something interesting on Monday about how this team, in terms of chemistry, has come together more in the last few weeks or maybe month than any other team he's ever had, which kind of surprised me because I feel like he's had some pretty tight-knit teams. So I don't know. Next few weeks are going to be interesting. He is going to have to recruit some of those 4- and 5-star guys when he's coaching in Baton Rouge here in 2 years, though. So.
Do they allow mullets in the Swamp? Is that a Swamp thing?
I think they allow whatever you want as long as you win 10 games a year.
Yeah, that's true. How weird would that be if they took the Oklahoma State coach back-to-back hires?
It would be crazy. I mean, so my thing with stuff like that, so the New Orleans Times-Picayune reported that Gundy was on LSU shortlist for coaches, which, okay, I mean, of course he is. Like, why wouldn't he be? But that doesn't really mean anything. Do you think there's anything there in terms of Gundy wanting to leave, desiring to go, whatever?
I think there could be, but I think he's down the list a ways. I don't think he's going to be one of their first calls now. And if they call, I think he'll listen. I think he'll listen to what they have to offer and then maybe even parlay that into a new contract at Oklahoma State. You know, that's the name of the game is,
yeah, that's
if you're wanted, you can get more out of the place you're happy at. And I don't think Mike will hesitate to do that with the way things have gone with Boone Pickens.
Yeah. I think that's
so
the play.
I don't think he's going to get hired by any means, but if they miss on Jimbo Fisher, if they miss on Tom Herman, all bets are off. Who knows where they'll go from there? Maybe they'll go to Larry Fedora. Maybe they'll go to Mike Gundy. Who knows? But I don't think Mike would take it. I think he's so set at OSU. His kids are in school. I have a hard time seeing him moving them to Baton Rouge. But that's just me. I mean, I've seen crazier things happen. But
I think if the
that's
room,
just my opinion.
I think if that's our opinion. I think if the rumors really heat up, that my perception of it, no matter how it plays out, is going to be that he's doing it, that's being floated out there by him to get more money. And yeah. So I think no matter what happens, I'll be shocked if he leaves.
Well, but we shouldn't be that shocked. He flirted pretty hard with Tennessee and Arkansas.
Yeah. So. I agree with that. I think this feels like a different sort of so he talked last week about Justice Hill kind of pushing through the freshman wall is what he called it, and I feel like in 2016 he's sort of made it over this hump, this like 10-year hump that he wasn't over last time whenever the Tennessee and Arkansas stuff was going on, to where he's on the other side of 10 years now, and he just, I don't know, the whole thing just feels a little bit different than it did back then.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. Do you not?
I mean, I kind of do. I mean, he is such a made man. Like, that's the thing I come back to. Like, yeah. He's so relaxed now. Like, his post-game press conferences are, like, just
it's like
unbelievably good. Yeah, he's so made. I just have a hard time seeing him picking up and moving. So yeah. I'm not too concerned about it. But I will say, if they start missing on targets and they plop down, you know, you're – $6-7 million a year. You gotta listen.
Yeah.
I think you just have to.
Yeah, I know.
Just think of all the horses he could get at LSU.
Double your salary? Whew, that'd be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, for anyone. Just any job, anywhere.
Sign me up for the Swamp. You're gonna pay me $7 million.
The Swamp or Death Valley?
Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Well, you said the Swamp. I thought you meant Florida.
Well, have you been to Louisiana? They have swamps too.
Okay, we need to.
I didn't mean the actual stadium, no.
We need to talk uniforms. Let's get to this week's uniform preview, brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop Cowboy shop on Campus Corner, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. We got no more. We've got two freebies, I guess, in the last two games because they're both road games. So we know white will be the jersey. What's your pick this week?
I have a commanding lead, don't I?
Yeah, you're. I'm a mule, and you're winning the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, this is pretty clear for me. I'm going black, white, black with, and I'm still holding out hope they're going to wear the matte black helmet with just the regular brand on it. I haven't seen that this year. I think it's their best helmet still. I want to see that.
Okay, I'm going off the board a little bit here. I need to catch up to you. I'm going white, black, and I'm saying the white helmet is going to have the sheriff's star.
Is that like the permanent helmet now?
It would appear that way.
Have we seen a regular brand since week one? I don't think we have.
I don't think so.
And even week one was like a shiny brand. Chrome brand. I couldn't think of the word.
I'll go Marshall badge on a white helmet, white tops, black pants.
That would look pretty good.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I think it would. How are you feeling about TCU? I know Boone thinks we're going to lose. Oklahoma State's a 3.5-point underdog.
It's like Vegas has bet against OSU the last, three or four close games, and they're just like doubling down with their lines. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're just angry at OSU, so they keep making them an underdog. Like, how are they not favored against TCU? Like, I know TCU just blew the doors off Baylor, but I think we've learned that OSU's probably the better team. But whatever. Maybe I should bet on it. I don't know.
Well, I think part of it has to do with it being on the road. I mean, you give what, three points for 2.5, 3 points, something like that for being at home.
Yeah, and roughly.
I think the other part is like, what if Texas Tech goes for two last week and wins that game? What if Kansas State scores a touchdown at the end of that game? It's not like, and this is why I wrote what I wrote on Wednesday about how I don't think Oklahoma State's the 11th best team in the country now. They've won games. They've been good at the end of games, but they haven't. I mean, you saw what Vegas has them as, like the 22nd or 23rd best team in terms of setting lines. So I'm not that shocked by the line. And I think it's a concerning game for Oklahoma State. I think it's good that you have a bye week afterwards and not Bedlam afterwards, because you're not looking ahead to Bedlam or anything like that. But I don't know. I think it'll come down to the end. And they've proven that they know how to win those games. So I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it'd be such a downer if OSU lost. And then, OU has a chance to play for the Big 12 title, 3 weeks early.
Yeah.
Against West Virginia. So.
Yeah, it really would.
But I don't know. I think I was more concerned about K-State than this game, but I think you have to be concerned about every game with Oklahoma State. They're not good enough to just show up and blow teams out. We've learned that. So
yeah, we're not good.
But I do think it helps. It's 11 a.m. I think some people don't buy into that. I think it's a great deal. It's 11 a.m. and not 7 o'clock.
Yes, I agree. I would prefer it be at like 7:30 a.m. I think that would be. I think that would be great. Okay, we got one more sponsor to hear from this week before we close up shop for the week. So let's hear from Chris's University Spirit. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay, what else do we need to talk about, Carson? We just got our mentions blown out of the water based on our uniform disdain this week.
I actually was unscathed. You got all the hate. Oh, I didn't get any.
Well, vicariously. What else do we need to talk about? Oklahoma State basketball on Wednesday night, their last tune-up before Maui. I'm excited for Maui. I think they could play UConn, or they will play UConn. They could play North Carolina. They could play Oregon. They could play Wisconsin. It's gonna be a fun trip, and I think will give us a really good measuring stick for how good the basketball team can be this year.
Yeah, it could be a really fun trip or a really depressing one really quickly. They're going to learn how good they are right away. So that's exciting. And that's something I've missed from OSU basketball for years now, is they never played in like the really good preseason tournaments.
Yeah.
Against like the Blue Bloods. So
those are always fun.
I'm glad they're back in those. Yeah.
Those are always super fun.
Even if you lose them, like come tournament time, they'll say, hey, look, they played, you know, they played UConn. They played this team. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm all for it. That goes back to, to touch on the college football playoff again. You're almost, my thing with OU right now is like, what if they had scheduled like a lower level Power 5 team instead of Ohio State? Are they in the playoff conversation? Probably. So you're disincentivizing teams to play really big non-conference games. And I hate that because I loved watching Ohio State and OU. I want more games like that. I think we all do. I think that's what makes college football a lot of fun. And I just hate that you might not see those games in the future because of what has happened to OU this year.
Well, and we thought, you know, with the playoff that you would have to start scheduling teams because they would hold your non-conference against you. Well, right. Yes and no. Like if you schedule like Baylor, obviously you're knocked down a peg or two. But you're right. OU is totally being penalized for playing Ohio State. I mean, if they had one loss, they'd definitely be in the playoff picture. Yeah. They already are, but they'd be way higher up there, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I totally switched gears from basketball to football there, by the way.
It's all right. I'm on my toes.
But I'm with you. I hope that Bedlam, I think everybody hopes that Bedlam is for the Big 12 title. I think, you know, it's been that way three of the last five, could be four of the last 6 years. Those have been the two best teams in the Big 12 conference since it went to 10 teams back in 2011. They've been far and away the two best teams. Baylor is third, and they're about to fall off pretty severely. So I think it's fun. You know, it's a fun time to be a college football fan in the state of Oklahoma. And yeah, I don't know. I hope they both get to December 3rd. It'd be a blast.
It's almost over, Kyle. It's depressing. You just made me sad a little bit. College football's almost over.
I know.
We'll have nothing to complain about with committee or anything.
We got the college basketball committee coming up in March. Where are you headed this weekend?
I will be in studio this weekend.
Okay.
So I'm not going to West Virginia now.
No Morgantown, no Fort Worth trip for you?
No, because OU's on our channel, so we're doing like an hour-long show, so that hinders my ability to go to Fort Worth.
I've got something that I'm doing this weekend that I can't talk about yet, but it's definitely going to be something that we're talking about next week, next Monday.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Color me intrigued.
Yeah, I don't want to throw it out there, but I think it's going to be intriguing.
Okay.
So we'll talk.
We'll be waiting for that announcement on next week.
Okay, we'll talk to you then, Carson.